With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington this Monday morning. Brought to you as always by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bishcakes, EB, and JP. And join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's our pal Dave Richard, fantasy football guru for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Hey, Dave.
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
What's going on?
We had the draft to enjoy over the weekend, so that was nice.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it? It was fun. It was a good time, and, a little bit of normalcy never hurt anybody, and a lot of interesting players coming into the NFL, and I mean a lot of them.
Yep.
Hold on. What do you mean by that, by interesting?
Interesting meaning, well, for fantasy purposes, it's a combination of guys who can contribute now, but also down the line. And the class of wide receivers, everybody heard it before the draft, it's stacked. And a lot of them went to places that, yeah, some were surprising, like CeeDee Lamb going to Dallas. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be a nightmare for Redskins fans for the next 8 years. But fantasy managers weren't expecting something like that. And it'll be interesting to see how he does, how he picks up targets compared to Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup there. And it's great for Dak Prescott. It makes him kind of a must-draft quarterback once you get to, you know, once Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are off the board. I'm not sure if there's anybody else. Judy goes to Denver. Ruggs goes to Vegas. Antonio Gibson goes to the Redskins. There's all kinds. There's a lot of intrigue and excitement. And I think we're going to see more rookies drafted in fantasy leagues this year than we ever have before.
Dave, I'm glad you brought up Dallas, because heading into 2020, I wanted to get all of the Michael Gallup shares I could get my hands on. But now with CeeDee Lamb there, I'm a little reticent now. I'm a little scared about loading up on Gallup, because I know that CeeDee Lamb, you're not drafting him in the first round to have him catch 20 balls. That dude is going to have an impact.
Yeah, the good news is you're going to be able to get as much Michael Gallup as you want still if you want him. But
true.
Lamb is an inside and outside type of wide receiver. Awesome skill set. You guys know how good he was at Oklahoma. And I think the Cowboys just kind of looked at it as, hey, he's the best player on our board. Amari Cooper gets banged up all the time. Michael Gallup, as good as he was last year, I believe he led the NFL in drops. You've got to go and add some receiver depth. And it sounds counterintuitive, right? Because Gallup is a young receiver. They just paid Amari Cooper $100 million to stay on the team, and they still go and they get CeeDee Lamb. It's going to make their offense really, really impossible to defend. And I'm doing this exercise right now after the draft of which receivers can get 100 targets. Mm-hmm. And I think just with the volume of passing that the Cowboys have done, and McCarthy has always been very pass-friendly as a play caller. He's not calling the plays now, but he won't be opposed to it is what I'm saying. I think that there's going to be room for two of those receivers to get over 100 targets. I think Cooper's going to be one of them, and I think Lamb will be the other. I actually think it crushes Michael Gallup's value. And by the way, a lot of people are nervous about Zeke and what he'll do in this offense. How many defenses are going to be able to stack the box to try and contain Zeke now? He's going to have all kinds of room to run.
I want to get back to the receivers, but let's go to the quarterbacks, all right? Burrow, obviously, with Cincinnati, Tua in Miami, and Herbert in LA with the Chargers. All right, so obviously Burrow is a week one starter, I would assume. So talk about Burrow, where you would draft him, and then Tua and Herbert. All right, are Tua and Herbert week one starters, or do they sit for a little bit behind the veterans that they have on those teams? What are your thoughts on those three guys?
I think there's definitely a chance that they sit to start the seasons. Herbert more so than Tua, but it could be both of them. But Burrow, as you guys know, he's going to be the week one starter in Cincinnati, and I actually think he makes an impact right away. It would be dumb of the Bengals to force their offense on him. Rather, they should go ahead and try and use the spread system that LSU had to go and make their offense pop and make him more comfortable. Remember, these guys aren't going to be able to practice with their new coaches until, at the absolute earliest, late July.
Right,
and if
right.
that's going to be the case, then the learning curve is going to be steep, literally, for every rookie that's not a running back. But if Burrow is familiar with a lot of the concepts that the Bengals want him to run, then no doubt it's going to make him a much better quarterback. His curve is going to flatten as far as being ready for the NFL season. I think he's a top 15 fantasy quarterback right now. I would draft him with a late pick if I was so inclined to have two quarterbacks on my fantasy roster. I don't want to draft Tua or Herbert in my 2020 leagues. Seasonal leagues, I don't know when they're going to make an impact. I don't want to carry them as a second quarterback. I don't want them on the roster. In time, they should be fine. I can pick them up off the waiver wire at that point. Love the offense around Justin Herbert. But Tua is someone that I'm not sure what that offense is going to look like with him, and I'm not sure how soon he's going to be on the field. But I love the direction of what the Dolphins are doing by adding pieces to the offensive line, building around Tua, making sure that when he does get on the field, he'll be prepared and ready to go.
Joined by Dave Richard from CBSSports.com. Give him a follow on Twitter if you're not already, at Dave Richard. So, Dave, if I'm loading up on running backs and wideouts and tight ends in my upcoming draft, I don't hate picking Drew Lock late as my quarterback because of all of the talent that they're surrounding him with there in Denver, adding Judy and Hamler to the mix. They add the tight end that he threw to at Mizzou. I kind of like Drew Lock as a sleeper. Are you feeling that same vibe?
There are two questions with Lock. Number one, how much will they actually let him throw? Because Vic Fangio last year, real conservative. I don't know if he's going to completely let him go off the chain and suddenly this is a team that's throwing the ball 30 to 35 times a game. And sure, they're going to say that game flow dictates it. They did add Melvin Gordon. I think that's a huge factor as well. They might want to lean on their run game a little bit more than we'd like to see, even though they've got all these great weapons there. And then the other question is Drew Lock any good? And there were moments last year, remember that game against Houston, he had like four touchdowns in the first half. He was outstanding.
Right.
But they're surrounding him with playmakers, you're right. And there's one more question. The offensive line, can they protect him? I'm curious to see how it all works out. That's going to be an off-season project for me to see just what this offense might end up looking like and whether or not Drew Lock can be good. But for now, yes, he is one of those quarterbacks you can take as a second option. But I think I'd rather have Burrow. And that's just me being crazy about Joe Burrow and expecting him to be lights out in what should be an aggressive offense in Cincinnati.
All right, so getting back to the receivers, you already talked about Lamb. You got Ruggs in Vegas. You talked about Judy a little bit. So it was Ruggs, Judy, Lamb drafted in that order. The other first-round receivers were Rieger, and help me out if I'm missing a couple. Jefferson
and Brandon Ayuk.
Ayuk, San Francisco.
Jefferson went to Minnesota, Rieger to the Eagles.
All right, so in what order do you kind of like those rookie receivers?
For 2020, this is strictly just for the upcoming season, Rieger is my favorite. I loved him as a prospect. He was my third favorite prospect. I liked him better than Ruggs. He reminded me of Judy while I was watching him. And for him to go to a dynamic passing offense like Philadelphia and to potentially be their number one receiver just makes me think that he's got a chance at 120 targets, much less 100 targets. So he's my favorite of the bunch. I'm not really worried about Alshon Jeffery. He's got a broken foot. He's old. He's inconsistent. I don't know how much he's going to play. DeSean Jackson, you guys know how old he is. He's got speed still, but I don't know if he can be a number one guy. And the other receivers that Philadelphia drafted, they are also really fast. Some of them are kind of like DeSean Jackson. But I think Jalen Rieger, who is fast, is kind of a total package type. He's just not necessarily physical. He's my favorite of the bunch. I would take Judy next, then Lamb. And Lamb, it's just because of the whole situation that he's in Dallas, and it's just a crowded receiving core there. And then I think I like Ruggs better than Jefferson. It may come down to scoring. PPR, I might take Jefferson ahead of Ruggs, but those guys are going to be right behind each other. But I'm not looking at any of these guys until at least 70th overall in my draft. So this is a bad year to trust rookie receivers. These are just really good receivers, some of them in great spots, some of them in so-so spots. But that learning curve that we talked about with Burrow, it's going to be harder for receivers to get up to speed if they're not practicing with their quarterbacks. There is one exception, though, and I didn't even bring up his name. This is just a funny little nugget.
Right.
T. Higgins has been working out with Joe Burrow.
Right.
And so Burrow, of course, the number one overall pick, who was the first pick for the Bengals in the second round? T. Higgins. So those two have actually started to work together. And I don't know if they're going to keep working together during this quarantine or not. I don't think league rules are going to actually allow it. But before, when they weren't officially teammates, they were allowed to. So that's kind of an interesting wrinkle. T. Higgins is also somebody that you can take a look at late on draft day.
Dave, do you think any of the running backs pop and flourish?
Of course. And in Clyde Edwards-Helaire going to Kansas City, I mean, we've already started some sick debates on our podcast about where he should get drafted. I think he's round three is the time. Jamie Eisenberg, my colleague at CBS, thinks round two is the time to take him. But here's the rationale for me on this. If he gets 10 carries and four catches a week, averages 70 total yards, he's in line for 60 catches and 1,100 yards right off the bat, and he's probably going to score a couple of touchdowns, if not, you know, a bushel full by the time he's done in Kansas City this year. But you don't take a guy like that. Remember, they could have had any running back they wanted. They took him. And Damian Williams, as great as he was in the postseason each of the last 2 years, I don't know if he's going to be a long-term option. Obviously, he's not. It's Edwards-Helaire. Jonathan Taylor is another guy that I like a lot. Went to Indianapolis, kind of a sticky situation because they've got Marlon Mack this year. They've got Nyheim Hines for probably the next couple of years. They're going to stick around on him. Obviously, they're going to let go of Mack. He's in a contract year. I think Jonathan Taylor's got great long-term potential. I would take Helaire first. Swift in Detroit would be second. I think the coaching staff has grown tired of Kerryon Johnson already, and I think Swift will end up being the lead back there. Cam Akers has huge upside in L.A., he would be next, and this is, again, seasonal leagues, and then Taylor would go after that. And then there's A.J. Dillon, who's an interesting running back in Green Bay. You know, it was just a weird pick by the Packers, but something tells me they've got designs on using him a little bit more than we thought he'd get used. He's someone to look at in round nine and maybe, you know, zig while you zag, and it crushes the value of Aaron Jones. You can't take Aaron Jones with the top 24 pick anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a head-scratcher to me. What about tight end? Cole Kmet was the first tight end selected out of Notre Dame. He goes to Chicago. And then there was a bunch selected in the fourth round, but Kmet was number one. Do you like any of the incoming rookie tight ends?
Not only do I not like them for this year, I'm not sure I like any of them long-term. Yeah, I'm just going through it. Kmet's okay. Adam Trautman, long-term. I've been in New Orleans. I think he's probably the best one of the bunch. Ogwebonam in Detroit, or Denver, rather, I think he might have some potential, too. Harrison Bryant in Cleveland, if he can find the playing time. But this really was not a great tight end class. And I'm worried about the fit of Kmet in Chicago. And rookie tight ends almost never make an impact. This is a good time to remember guys like Noah Fant and T.J. Hockenson, tight ends that were rookies last year and flashed here and there. They should be able to take the second step this year and be better contributors for fantasy.
All right, so as you know, I'm in this keeper league. Drabby's also in it, our producer.
Yep.
All right, campus to Canton. We've already had the NFL draft. Now we're going to do a five-round draft of the incoming rookies, okay? I have the second pick. Burrow's going to go one.
It's a two-quarterback league?
It's a super flex league, correct. My quarterbacks right,
so
right
that's
now.
That's why Burrow's going to go one.
Correct. Now, my quarterbacks on this roster right now are Cousins and Teddy Bridgewater. I took a flyer on Luck just to see, you know, maybe he comes back out of retirement. But I've got the second pick. I'm guessing I got to go Tua there.
The very first thing I would do is what the Dolphins did and start making calls, whoever has the first pick, and see what they want for it so you can get Burrow instead of Tua.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to do. I don't think he's going to give to Burrow.
Well, you may want to load up because I think Burrow is going to be that dude. I really do. I think he. Listen, I, I study these guys. I've been doing it for a long time. He's the best quarterback I've seen since Luck came out. Uh-huh. I'm so impressed with him in so many ways that Dave, even if it costs you a big pick later on, yeah, it would be worth it.
Didn't you wheel and deal to get Burrow in one of your CBSSports.com's online drafts?
I did. So, you know, I got to pretend to be the Dolphins GM.
Yep.
And that means I had control of all their picks. And I traded all three firsts and the later second round pick for Burrow. And I got yelled at for it. Scott Pioli made fun of me, the former GM of the Chiefs made fun of me. But I didn't care because he's that much better. And if I'm the Dolphins and I need a quarterback and I'm nervous about Tua, I'm spending what I have to spend to go get Burrow. Now, that's not what the Dolphins ultimately did, but we don't know what they offered. I know that if I were Cincinnati, I wouldn't have taken the offer that I made and then got for Burrow. Because I don't care about all those extra draft picks. I want to take the sure thing, and I think Burrow is that sure thing.
But what you said about Edwards-Helaire intrigues me. You know, this is a keeper league, all right? So going forward, it's more valuable to have those quarterbacks. But you're saying take Edwards-Helaire in the second round of just a standard league and a standard draft. This is just the rookie draft. Should I go Tua there at number two, assuming I can't get to one, or Edwards-Helaire?
So it wouldn't even be Edwards-Helaire that I would tell you. I think Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis long-term is great. The only reason why I'm nervous about Taylor in 2020 is because Marlon Mack is there and Nyheim Hines is there, and maybe there's going to be a little time before Jonathan Taylor takes over as that main guy in Indianapolis. But he landed in a phenomenal situation. That's an offensive line that's, you know, among the best in the league, if not the best in the league. He ran behind a great offensive line at Wisconsin. And he can handle a big workload. So the Colts are probably going to be really smart about it and, you know, work him in and out of the lineup this year. But starting next year, he could end up having, you know, a solid 5-6 years as a 300-touch running back for Indianapolis. Now, it's a risk to take him over anybody else as the number two pick besides Burrow. You can't get him.
Right.
But if you're cool with Cousins and Bridgewater as your quarterbacks in this Superflex league for the next two seasons or so, you should go for Taylor and not take the chance on Tua, who could be great 1 year, hurt the next year, comes back from the injury the year after that, and he's just okay. Then he's good again. He's hurt again. There is concern long-term for Tua holding up. There's concern for Justin Herbert to be a good quarterback long-term. Here's an idea for you, is go and get Taylor in round one and then hope that Jordan Love makes it to you in round two. Because by the time you need a quarterback, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line, Love could be it. And Love's got great potential to be a stat producer in fantasy.
All right.
So, Dave, post-draft, what are your plans like the next couple of weeks?
Well, this week I've got 5 fantasy drafts.
All right.
And FFT live every day, noon or so, on CBS Sports HQ. I always tweet out when we're going on the air to talk fantasy.
Very nice.
If people want to get an edge, they can do that. And a lot of studying. I'm going to take an online course on Lamar Jackson and what worked for him last year and how defenses are going to defend him. We're going to have to come to a conclusion on whether or not he's going to be the real deal in 2020. Drew Locke is going to be a project for me. And really just dig into a lot of these teams, a lot of question marks. We've got the time to do it, and it doesn't look like there's going to be many minicamps. So research, research, research. Got to get ready for the season.
All right, Dave. Follow him on Twitter, at Dave Richards, CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks.
See you,
all right. Be safe.
All right, when we come back, phone lines will open up again at 800-636-1067 as we talk NFL draft here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Mm-hmm. I'm laughing because Bickle's not here at the beginning of the segment.
Yeah.
Heading to the bathroom. And it just, I don't know why we'll continue to laugh at this, but it was several months ago when he claimed to Cakes that he never goes to the bathroom during the show.
I mean, who called shenanigans
now he
on
does
that?
It. Now he does it twice a week.
Immediately called the shenanigans.
He's
on
always
that,
done
on
it
that,
twice
on
a week.
That quote and call by him.
And now he's going to say, well, you know, just had a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It's coffee. You realize it was shenanigans when he said you never go during the show.
He undersold it. He was just underselling.
Yeah, much like Cakes on his Peloton, how he oversold it.
I did oversell. Listen, that. True.
It's not, look, the fact is that I've gone months without coffee, but when I drink coffee, it makes me go. And I've been drinking coffee for the last couple months, and it's a crisis. Every show, a crisis hits. And I couldn't leave. I mean, I was just having a crisis. I don't know what to tell you.
Very sensitive bowels.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like you're done, and then you stand up, and then, oh, no, here we go again. So
I can't wait to just pummel some food at 10 o'clock.
What are you going to eat? What's on the docket?
I don't know. Might have some Boston pork butt. Okay. Might have some.
What's that?
It's Boston butt. It's called Boston butt.
Because you got your meat delivery from your guy.
Yeah. Well, my neighbor actually ordered it, and he cooked it up yesterday, and he hooked me. Gave
you
me
got
like,
some butt from a guy. Case?
I got some
I
butt.
Hear you.
I got some butt from a guy. My neighbor
did.
Yeah. My neighbor Jim. Or
exactly.
I can do a little leftover because we had spaghetti Sunday last, and I can do little leftovers there. You know, just all kinds of options. But I'm just
famished. I can tell you this. I don't know if your house it's the same way, but I can tell you at my house, my wife is getting sick and tired. Like, we're saving money. She's sick and tired of making dinner every night.
Right,
oh, yeah.
Right.
And she's starting to lash out at me because I'm not helping with the cleanup enough.
Why don't you make something?
You know,
why don't you whip something up in the kitchen, Ricky?
I went
to Cabo once.
What?
Are you never going out to eat? I know you did Cabo once.
Twice, man. I mean, honestly, during this whole pandemic, the lockdown of the last 45 days, we've probably done takeout three times.
Wow.
My wife is making lunch and dinner and actually full gourmet breakfast for my kids. My kids are spoiled. They have no idea. Yeah. She's making a gourmet breakfast every morning.
Can't you grill something? Can't you
I grill all the
burden?
Time. I say, just season it the way you want it, and I'll take care of it on the grill. You know,
it gets repetitive, though.
Well, see, she just doesn't like to hear it from me. I don't know. It's easier for her to just do it, I guess. But
right.
I could tell she's sick of cooking, and she's definitely sick of me not cleaning up more after dinner.
I feel pretty.
That's
comfortable
all I
with
do during commercial breaks. Commercial breaks, I go out to the kitchen and I clean up from the night before.
You do?
Oh yeah, I'm a neat freak when it comes to that. Bro.
I hate when I see the dishwasher full of clean dishes.
Yeah, you don't want to unload it.
Oh, I hate it. I'd rather just put something
it.
In the sink.
Really?
And that just tilts my wife like
you
to
like.
No end.
You like when the dishes pile up in the sink?
I don't like it, but I just hate gathering
he likes
up
it
every
more than...
knife. I hate gathering up every spoon, every fork, all the pots, all the pans, all the bowls. You know, where's the spatula go? Where's
so
the
pots.
Pizza cutter go? Oh.
It's 10 to 12 minutes of your life you'll never get back. If
I
you
hate
empty it.
It.
Yeah,
oh
but
my it, god!
It's a good
I hate
feeling.
It.
It's a good feeling knowing you have a clean kitchen, a
then
tidy kitchen.
You fill
kitchen.
It back, you fill the dishwasher back up.
Next thing you know, you blink and your 19-year-old son's got dishes everywhere. All and you're doing it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a mess.
I'm going to tell you that Mondays you
I'm
have
eating out more.
Jason, you have spaghetti Sundays.
Sunday. Yep.
Mondays has become Chick-fil-A for lunch tradition.
Nothing wrong with
what
that.
I do.
Nothing wrong with that.
So I've been doing drive-through.
Did you get the ice cream cone too? So good.
I don't get the ice cream cone. Occasionally get a milkshake. Occasionally.
Yeah, well, about the same thing. It's good.
But
really
I
good.
Mean, over the weekend we did Moby Dick once, and I did the Potbelly / Uncle Julio's.
Nice. You know what? You're
Uncle Julio
contributing
is
to the economy, JP.
You are.
That's a good thing.
You're doing your part.
Yeah, Uncle Julio. I might have to do Uncle Julio's this week. Get some.
I'm
chicken,
telling you, you know what? Next break, I'll show you the bag of chips that I have. It is humongous.
Oh, it's probably the size of a suitcase.
And they're probably so salty too. They're probably salty and delicious.
My sodium intake's gone way up.
They're so good.
I guarantee you, I have hypertension
right now.
Because
salt is yummy. Salt tastes good.
You know what? I didn't notice too many guys during the NFL draft with like food in front of them.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. I noticed there was definitely some product placement. Like some guys had like Pizza Hut pizza boxes. Like
okay,
on the
maybe
table.
There were a few. I just didn't notice a ton. I would think that everybody would have had a spread on their coffee table.
I think Justin Herbert had a silly food spread in front of him. I think he had like chips and salsa, like a really nice looking fruit plate. Maybe
some
like
guys
a charcuterie
had some pretty rough
board.
Setups though, and I get it. But they had like you know, like looked like something from like senior day or something, like a big old poster you put on like the fence at a high school prom.
Right.
They
sure.
had that behind the couch.
Yeah. Those the day three numbers.
There were some day one numbers that had that too.
Hey, you know what? It's a pandemic. You got to cut corners sometimes.
I actually like day three more than day one because even though I didn't know most of the players, it just went faster.
It was really fast.
Yeah, and it was just I just really enjoyed day
three. I didn't
three
like
the
day
most.
Three because JP and Jason got hooked with all of the picks and the Trent Williams news on the weekend show.
Right.
Yeah, but you just had to speculate the whole time.
I mean, you guys could talk about what they did the night before where they drafted Antonio Gibson, and you could speculate
didn't
as to what you
like
wanted them to do in the fourth round.
Cakes, didn't you feel like our show just flew by?
The show went by quickly. It was fine.
Yeah, so I was
kinda, but it can always be easier when you have gifts from above just dropped into your lap, like those two dogs over there, right there.
I heard, I heard Banana Peel on the show.
Those guys.
Oh, yeah, I heard a little Banana Peel.
Oh, yeah, Tom was on there, and you know people were yelling at me to shut up, but I tried to get him to hit all his topics mm-hmm. in the end because I know he would just talk forever. So, yeah, he's pretty pissed off about the way they're handling this this golf thing, certainly in Illinois. Hopefully in Maryland, Hogan won't put the handcuffs on golfers the way they have it.
Well, Hogan came out with a statement on Friday, I believe it was,
yeah,
with his plan for reopening, but it couldn't be more vague.
We didn't put a date on it either.
Yeah, no, I think I want to say May 15th was maybe the target, but it was very vague.
See, people are taking this as a political thing, and it's not political at all. It truly isn't. But the data is coming in. And the mortality rate on this thing is just much, much closer to the flu than we ever thought. It's hitting the vulnerable and the compromised, the elderly and the compromised, way more than everybody else. And, you know, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Now, we just protect those and let the rest of us get back out there. So I'm cautiously optimistic as people start to see more and more of the data coming in that more people have had this and that the vast majority of people that get this either have no symptoms or they right. just, you know, or, you know, they suffer very
I
little.
I just don't want to see a resurgence in 6 months.
Well,
the second wave. The second wave.
Hopefully we don't, but it's going to be like all respiratory illnesses.
Right.
Just like it's going to go up, spike, come down, and then it may come back.
But
now,
I think you're
SARS
right.
Come back.
I think the world just has to roll the dice and say, all right, we got to get back to normal, and the weak and frail are going to pay a price. But
well, they have to protect themselves.
Right? 99% of the world will be fine.
When are the junks going to be back in D.C.? That's the big question.
I don't know.
Maybe
July
never.
July or August.
I vote never.
I'm fine working out of my living room.
I like this room right here.
Right.
Hey, what are the chances EB took care of his parking situation?
Zippy.
Oh, yeah. I haven't done that.
Zero.
I'm going to do that today.
Well
just say it again. Just say it again. I got to call Colonial.
I got to call Colonial.
Yeah, just say it. Yeah.
I'm going to do it today, but I had to call the calls I had to do last week.
Here's the problem with Maryland is Hogan put out this vague plan, but then on Saturday they had the most reported deaths. So doesn't that start the whole clock over again when they're looking at the timeline? They need to see the decrease for 14 days.
Maybe. People die every day. You know, we didn't do daily flu deaths. It's crazy. But, you know, it's a terrible thing. No one wants to get it. I certainly don't want to get it. I don't want my mother to get it or your mother or anybody to get it. But, you know, it's the first time that we focused on daily death numbers, and it's just skewing our brains. It's screwing us all up here. This is a terrible respiratory illness, but it's really not that dissimilar from others other than the asymptomatic transmission of it. We just have to deal with it, and you know, we just can't destroy the country for it. You know, we just got to
get back
out there.
By the way, speaking of deaths, how about the genius Tulane two-guard who had a shot at the NBA cakes? Tashawn Hightower, who was arrested over the weekend for murder in Georgia. Did you see that story?
I did not see that.
He played at Georgia for 2 years, and he transferred to Tulane. He was, okay. I believe he was their leading scorer. I think he averaged like 16, 17 a game this past year.
Yeah.
So he's hanging out with his brother and a couple guys down in I don't know, somewhere outside of Atlanta. That's where he's from. Killed somebody, and now he's going to jail for the rest of his life.
What an idiot.
Correct.
Killed somebody and threw his own life away.
Correct.
Two lives at least ruined in the process. It's just terrible.
Mm-hmm. All right, boys. Who wouldn't want to take a little of the work out of working from home? Our pals at Paisanos, we love Paisanos, are all over it with their work from home BOGO. Now, every day of the week, like today, for example, buy any large pizza at regular price and get a free large pizza of equal or lesser value. Order online or via the Paisanos app and use the promo code WFHBOGO. That's WFHBOGO. Curbside pickup and no contact delivery available. Paisanos, not just pizza, but something for everyone delivered. For more details and to order, visit PaisanosPizza.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Been talking NFL draft for most of the show. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. I watched both episodes of The Last Dance last night. Eric watched one. Jason's going to watch both
today.
Yep. I guess, Eric, maybe you can rewatch the Carmen Electra part, which you missed.
Well, hold on. Again, I was vindicated again. A listener said that started the episode 4. The Electra stuff. So you were crushing me saying it was in episode 3. It wasn't. It was the beginning of episode 4.
Okay.
I'm telling you I didn't miss it.
All right. Well, I thought she looks pretty damn good for 48.
Well,
we just tweeted out a picture at Junks Radio if you want to check out. Because I hadn't seen her in 10 years at least.
How would you see her?
We see Carmen Electra.
Where would you see Carmen Electra?
Well, she should be like huge on Instagram. Is she huge on Instagram?
You know,
Liz Hurley puts out pictures that go viral all
the
time.
I don't have Instagram. I read an article which said that she's active on Instagram. And I don't know. If you have Instagram, just click. Can't you just type up her name and find out?
I know she's got huge tatas.
She only has 1 million followers. She should have 50 million. Let me look at what she's posting, though.
Yeah, but, Andy, she's putting why are you joining on 1 million? How many do you have?
Zilch.
How many does Cake Swaps have?
I know, but I'm saying compared to other, like, hot girls, they're like random golfers that have more than that. Random hot golfers.
And now she follows them all.
Can't even break 80.
Yeah, but young people don't know who Carmen Electra is.
Well, I'm saying they don't know who Liz Hurley is either. But if you're a hot chick and you have fame... You should have 10 million followers. Bad Baby's got how many millions? Bad Baby's got like 50 million.
Please tell me you don't follow her.
No, but
she's
let me see.
She's a nightmare.
I actually just made up that number.
Yeah, it sounds made up.
I made up that number.
How
let
many
me see.
Does she actually have?
I don't know. I should be truthful. I'll be honest. I made that up. Bad baby. I'm going to look at right now.
Just another way to crowbar her into the show somehow.
18 million followers.
That's a lot.
So you're telling me she's got she's 18 times more, like, I guess she is more famous than Carmen Electra, but she's not hotter. Not even close.
Well, she's also like 16.
I don't even know. How old is she? Is she that young?
She's super young.
She's like perpetually 16. It's like she doesn't age.
Yeah, she's frozen in time.
Hey,
yeah.
Cakes.
Like her brain.
Over the weekend, got back into the horsies.
Okay.
All right. So I went 10-4 in my head-to-heads. This was on Saturday. Gulfstream, Oaklawn, and Tamper. And McKinney. Doug McKinney over there at NBC Sports Washington.
He's such a degen, I had no idea.
He hit some 15-1 shot. He texts me, he goes, I just hit a 15-1. And I go, all right, give me a fatty. And he goes, all right, I got this horse. I think it was a Baffert horse.
Okay. Yeah.
So it had a really good trainer and a good, I don't know, I can't remember the name of the jockey, but reputable trainer and jockey. And his name was Horses Eight Rings.
All right.
Or Eight Rings was the name of the horse. So he goes, this is a lock. It's a big fatty. I said, all right. So I lied to him and told him I put $320 on it to win 180.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually just put $32 on it to win 18.
Okay.
But guess what? Fat loser.
So bye-bye to your $32.
So I said, bye-bye to the 32. I ended up going 10-4 in the head-to-heads, but I lost money because that was the one play that I had the most money up.
Well, you're betting on all these favorites.
Yeah, I went 10-4.
You owe 10-4 in your bank. You're losing money.
Well, that's because I put $35 up on one horse. I shouldn't have done that.
I don't know anything about the horses, but I'm willing to bet this. Since you just started betting horses, when it's all said and done, your balance sheet, you're going to be in the negative.
Of course.
Oh, you mean it's just with the horses? Just with the horses?
It's still fun.
Well, right now I'm probably still in the positive from all the other week. So I've been betting for basically three straight weeks.
Right now, but eventually you're going to end up in the
Well,
negative.
If I listen to McKinney's losers, yeah, you're right.
By the way, we're not going to be able to cash in. I have a winning bet from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Oh. When am I going to be able to cash
in? I'll tell you what. I'm looking. Looking at my crystal ball.
Yeah.
July 1st.
Okay.
Well, can't you send
those
in?
I'm just throwing that out there.
I think before
Can't you
that.
Send it in the mail and they'll send
Definitely
you a check?
Definitely send it in the mail.
It's not a ton of money. I think I won $90.
Oh,
I don't
take
even
that.
Remember what the bet was.
That would have been sent in the mail. I would have FedExed that thing.
There's something about going to the window and collecting your $90 cash.
Drabby. Good. Drabby. Can we? I don't know if Gabby's even there.
I'm here.
And Valdez.
They never talk anymore. By the way, are they mute? Yeah. Are you guys mute?
They're not there during the break either. They're always running around doing something, and so we're screaming at them during the breaks because we need something. And they don't hear us. What do you think about Saturday for our next horsey happy hour?
It's the horsey.
It's fine with me. I don't know who's running on Saturday.
Plus, we're probably on the air, donkey donk.
Yeah. Saturday, dude. Saturday's the Arkansas Derby. That's a big one.
Oh, big one.
Look at Lurch. He now knows the random
Bobby
races.
Petrino's butt size.
Valdez.
It was
well,
supposed
hold
on. To be
Maybe
the Derby.
They can make us work on Sunday so we can be off on Saturday.
Arkansas Derby, Valdez. Big one.
I know. Oaklawn.
What do you think, Valdez? You like Saturday?
What time do you guys want to do it?
Well, you tell us. I'd do it on Friday, but nobody wants to do it during like one of the guys' shows.
No, Saturday's good because that's supposed to be the Kentucky Derby, so there will be other big races going on.
A lot of
you tell
races.
Us the time. I mean, we're not going anywhere.
You're the assistant program director, Drab. What is our weekend shift lineup?
I don't know.
You can adjust it. It doesn't matter.
Yet.
I'd rather do it Saturday than Sunday.
You'd rather do the horsey happy hour?
No, I'd rather do my show on Saturday.
All right, do your show from 9 to 12 and then do the horsey happy hour afterwards.
Yeah, we'll see.
What do you mean, we'll see? If we're gambling, you're going to do it.
It's birthday weekend. I got my wife's birthday. She turns 51. I got my birthday's next Monday, but it's a big one. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
He's out.
He's got places to go and people to.
I might go back to the movies.
Yeah, people to infect.
Oh, you gave up. You gave up on the social distancing. You lasted about 30 days.
Yeah,
I
can only take so much boredom in my life.
He's a social butterfly, that Jason Bishop.
He's been playing golf the whole time and going to people's houses.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to get any golf in this week because the weather's not supposed to be great. A lot of rain. It's cold today. Damp and cold. Poopy.
All right, let's go to the phones.
Hey,
by
the way,
guys?
Every horse track in America is racing on Saturday.
Correct.
Yeah, so I mean, pick a time and let's just do it. If Lurch doesn't want to do it, that's fine.
After your shows. After 3 o'clock.
After 3 o'clock? All right. So, yeah, get my show out of the way, too, then. Get mine over with.
So, JP, are you going on vacation this week at all?
They're not
going
to let him.
Going on vacation. It'll be allowed. Monday through Friday.
He's not going anywhere.
Well, you know what I mean.
I'll just sleep in past 6 a.m.
Are you taking vacation?
Next week.
All right,
I'm saving
go.
All my vacation for 5 straight weeks.
Yeah, I don't blame
you. But you've already taken a week this year, right?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Richie, you haven't taken one day?
I took 2 days when Skippy was supposed to come to town. I took it anyway. It was like March 12th
right,
and 13th.
To watch the conference tournaments, which got canceled.
Which all got canceled.
Terrible. Yeah. All right, do we still have those guys on hold or no, Draft?
Yeah, they're there.
All right, let's go to Steve in Silver Spring. Steve, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
Real quick, why do we call Tom Healy banana peel?
This is a great question.
Look, we played one of those turkey bowls about 10, 15 years ago. And, like, you know, we used to do them every year like everybody would. And, I don't know, we threw a long pass to banana peel to Tom, and he slipped and fell and broke his wrist. I mean,
he
you know,
slipped
the first
on nothing.
Time, it was
slipped
the first
on the grass.
Time, it was the first time we'd ever played anything with him besides golf.
Now, in fairness to Tom, he was born with, like, one arm shorter than the other.
Right.
And he's, like, I think he's, like, broken the elbow or broken the wrist or something. Now, he'll call me and say I got something wrong. But he's either born with one arm short. I think he broke his arm. And then it didn't grow right. And then so he's just constantly got issues.
Right.
It's a little brittle.
We just like to frame him as genetically fragile. Yeah. So, like, if he slipped on a banana peel, he's going to dog himself off. Hence,
I think that was back in, like, the Mario Kart days.
Yeah,
like,
and it rhymes, banana peel healing. It works. It works all the way around.
All right, you want to go to Kevin? Do we have 30 seconds? Kevin from Glory Days. Kevin, what's up, buddy?
He's going to talk for 5 minutes.
And having a ball, man.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, give me your take on the Steelers drafting McFarland and Brooks.
Well, I know McFarland can play. He's just, you know, he's had some health issues over the last couple of years. Obviously, he's the Matha kid, so we're behind him 100%.
Absolutely.
Where did they get him? They get him in the fourth round?
Fourth round. Yeah. Brooks went sixth.
We're going to try and get Antoine Brooks Jr. on the show. He's actually a PG County kid from Duval High School.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and get him on the show here.
I would imagine McFarland's a PG County kid too, right?
I'd like to get him too.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think they did great. And it doesn't they – Why does Tomlin have connections here? Does this kid go to Bullis or something? Does he?
I thought it wasn't his kid. Did
his
he play
got
for
some,
Maryland
he's got
at one
some
point?
I think he was at Maryland.
I think
Pedro,
his son might
there?
Have been at Maryland.
He's got local connections somehow, Tomlin does, with his kid or something.
100%.
I'm not sure.
I think it's Maryland.
Yeah. Well, if you're working on Brooks, we might as well tell your contact to get McFarland, too. Would love to have him.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll work on those guys.
Tell Andre. Is Andre the one hooking you? Tell Andre.
No,
get him.
It was actually Brooks' uncle actually texted into the Vibe Machine.
Oh, nice.
And said, do you want to get him on the show? I said, yeah. So I gave him my number. We'll see if he reaches out.
Yeah,
Mike Tomlin's kid, Dino. He a terp.
Yep.
He a terp. Right. Is he play? Does he play? Or is he just?
I don't know if he plays. And there's a picture of Mike Tomlin with his arm around his kid wearing a Maryland jersey with a helmet under his arm.
Oh, okay. So he's on the team. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. All right, so let's tentatively schedule it for Saturday, the next Horsey Happy Hour after our shift, and hopefully Jason can find time to squeeze us in his big birthday weekend.
Well, it's a big one.
Bank on it.
Yeah. You're not doing
all right, boys,
anything special.
Got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow for Bish, Cakes, EBMJP.
See ya.
We'll see you tomorrow. Grant and Danny, they're coming up next right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.